and chapter 1, Colossians and chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. And God willing, today we're going to be preaching on the subject of He is the image of the invisible God. Now, a lot of times we don't really consider the fact that we talk about Jesus and we think about Jesus. And you know, we hear Him preached about, but sometimes we don't think about some of the deeper stuff. That's one of the reasons I like preaching through a book of the Bible. Hopefully today we'll be encouraged to think about Christ and who He truly is. Now we know that He is a Savior. We also know that He is the sinless, perfect offering for the sins of the world. But here's another thing. He is God in flesh. And too many times we don't think about the deity of Christ. Now, if you remember last week, we preached from verses 9 through 14. And we find in those verses that they point us to the Colossians' daily walk and their service to God. Verses 15 through 18 points us to the One who empowers and enables us to walk with and to serve God, and explains more fully about who He is, and in particular, about His deity. Now here's the thing, folks. One of the things that separates Jesus Christ from all other saviors, and I put that in air quotes, of this world, is who He is, and not only who He is, but who He claims to be. Jesus Christ made the statement, "I am." What does that mean? That means that He is God. You find that in the Old Testament, where He made the "I am" statements. Matter of fact, you can read that and study that on your own. You can also find in these that Jesus Christ over and over again proclaimed to be the Savior. No one else can rightly make that claim. And let me tell you why. I am fully convinced. If I was just reading from a purely human standpoint, is that Jesus Christ is the Savior because nowhere can you find His body. Nowhere can you find His grave. You can find the tomb, or at least where they think He was laid, but yet He is no longer there. He is not there. And believe me, folks, don't you think if they could have found Jesus' body and been able to prove definitively that they could have done it, that they would have done that by now? They've been looking for centuries. And still yet, they cannot find His body. And I'll tell you why they can't. Because He resurrected and went to heaven. That's it. Listen, this Jesus that we serve, this Christ that came and died for us, He is not like everyone else. He is the sinless, perfect Savior that overcame death, hell, and the grave. And because of that, we are more than conquerors. And we are overcomers and will overcome death, hell, and the grave in the sense that we will be resurrected. Not that we overcome it ourselves, but through Christ that has happened. Now I want you to look starting in verse 15. The Bible says He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now, verse 15, we find that Jesus, He is the image of the invisible God. Now, what does that mean? For years, I looked at that, especially as a young Christian, and I would look at that like, what does that mean? That just, you know, sometimes you just can't grasp it, right? Well, it says here, from what we studied, this word for image says Jesus, or He is the image of the invisible God, The word for image there that was translated from Greek into English, the Greek word is icon. And it's transliterated into English, E-I-K-O-N. It is spelled in our English language, I-C-O-N. We know what that is. You've heard of icons and stuff. Well, what it means is copy or likeness. So what it's saying here is simply this, that Jesus is the copy or the likeness of the invisible God. In other words, He is the seen of the unseen. He is what we see now as God. He is the image of Him. And understand, one of the reasons for this is simple. He is the perfect likeness of God Himself because He is God. It's just real simple. Sometimes, folks, we overcomplicate things. Why do we overcomplicate things? That's a good question. But to put it in simple terms, He is the image of God. He is the likeness of God because He is God. Now, notice this too. The firstborn over all creation. Now, firstborn in this context is talking about not firstborn in the sense of firstborn because He is the only born. He is the only begotten Son of God. And also remember this too. Jesus, that is God, wasn't born in eternity past. Okay? He was not. He wasn't created. He's always been. Now, can I sit here and tell you that I understand everything about that? No. You know why? Because that is infinite wisdom. We, as human beings, have finite wisdom. It's hard for me to grasp something or someone coming out of just always being in existence. We look at babies that have been born. But Jesus Christ, God, was not born in eternity past. He's always been. He created the heavens and the earth. But understand this, though. In the sense of Jesus Christ, whenever He was born in this world through Mary, well, He was certainly born. But understand this. And if I confuse anyone on this, please ask me later and I'll try to do the best I can about this. Understand, He is the only begotten Son of God. But understand this. Most importantly, He is the preeminent one. And that's what it's talking about, the firstborn here. Talk about an importance and rank. Jesus Christ is more important than anyone or anything else in this world. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is the Savior of all that believe. He is the only sinless sacrifice that could save anyone. He is the only one that could willingly die for our sins and it would be an accepted sacrifice by God or Himself. Again, my mind right now is blown thinking about it. But I'm going to tell you this. All I can tell you is this. That whenever I was lost, now I'm found. For years, I tried to make myself acceptable to God. For years, I tried in some way to please God by my efforts, by trying to do certain things, act certain ways and so forth. And understand, God's people have been called to live a life that honors and glorifies Him. Understand that. But understand this too, that no matter how I tried to dress myself up and try to make myself look the part, outside of the power of God and outside of the forgiveness of Christ, I couldn't do anything. And God in His mercy and grace did a work in my heart. Am I perfect? No. Follow me around and you'll find out. Hear me step on a Lego. You'll find out. See me stub my toe. You'll find out. I'm just being honest with you, folks. none of us here are perfect. And outside of Christ, none of us will ever be good enough or accepted by God. Now, notice this too. We also know that He, as He is preeminent in this, that He is the one who created the heavens and the earth. Look with me in verse 16. For by Him all things that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him. Governments, laws, human beings, animals, materials that we have, that we created things out of. All of this is by the created hand of God. Remember again, Jesus is the one who created the heavens and the earth. Look with me very quickly in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John in chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Verses 1 or 2. Now, in your own time, I want you to read verses 3 down through verse 13, okay? But just for a second, skip down to verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, and the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of Him and cried out, saying, This was He of whom I said, He who comes after me is preferred before me, for He was before me. Look at verse 16 and 17. And of His fullness we have all received, and grace for grace, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Understand who it was in verse 1. And the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Then we come down to verse 14, and it talks about the Word. Who was this Word? It was Jesus. He was the Creator. He was the one who created all of it. He set everything in motion. Everything that you see today, from the paneling, to the tile ceilings, to the lights, to the electricity that flows through them, through the grass that's dead outside, but still it's grass. What little water we have in our ecosystem here in Marion, guess what? That's all created by Jesus. He is God. He created it all. Now, I want you to think about this too. Being as He is God, being as He is the Creator, also understand this too. Go back with me, please, to Colossians. Colossians verse 17. So we've seen that all things were created through Him and for Him. Verse 17, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Now wait a minute, what's that talking about in verse 17? We talked about this just a little bit while ago. And He is before all things. What does that mean? He already existed. He didn't come into existence. He's already existed. He's always been, and He always will be. There was never a beginning with Christ. There will never be an ending with Him. He is always and always will be. Now, notice this too. He is before all things, but then notice also, and in Him all things consist. What does that mean? All things consist, or in other words, they exist and stay together because of His power. He keeps it all together. Every bit of it. Nothing is going to go out of existence until God decrees that it will. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. I believe that we ought to be wise with the resources that we've got. Okay? I think we ought to be wise stewards with God's creation. We shouldn't be wasteful. We shouldn't be silly. We shouldn't be just throwing things away just for the sense of doing it. If we can recycle, we should. If we can take care of things, we should. But I'm not for worshiping Mother Earth either, as people call her. It's not Mother Earth, by the way. It's God. So what do we do? There's got to be a balanced approach. Let's look at a biblical approach. God has given us dominion over the earth. In other words, we are caretakers. We are to take care of this earth. We shouldn't be wasteful with fossil fuels. But at the same time, God gave coal to be used. And to be used wisely for our resources. God has given oil to be used. And to be used wisely and in good trust and in good faith. And to be used properly in good resources. Okay? Listen, I'm going to also say this too. Climate change? Folks, I remember in the 70s, I forgot about this, but I was reminded about this. How many of y'all remember that they said we were going to have an ice age back in the 70s? Y'all remember that?
Amen.
Now they're saying that we're going to go and this world is just going to just burn up and we're going to have all these issues. Listen. This earth will be in existence until God says that it won't be. And at that time, He will destroy this earth by fire. And that's when there will be a new heaven and a new earth. It's just that simple. Again, don't be silly. Don't be wasteful with our resources. But understand, all things consist by Jesus Christ. He will take care of it. We can have faith in Him. Now, verse 18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Now, notice this. So we've seen in verse 17 that He was already in existence, that all things consist or stay together because of Him. Now look at verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Now here in verse 18, we start off with the metaphor of the body. Now what is a metaphor? It is a figure of speech in which a word or phrase is applied to an object or action in which it is not literally applicable. Okay? So, we have here, it says, He is the head of the body. Now, first of all, understand, who is He? That is Christ, or He is Christ. Number two is the head of the body. What does that mean? The ultimate authority. Now, what does a head do on your body? That's where the brain center is at. That's where the brain tells the rest of your body. Like your foot, it sends messages your brain does to your foot. Take a step to the left. Take a step to the right. If I want to raise my hand, it tells me to raise my left hand. My right hand, the same thing. The brain, the head, is an amazing thing. But understand this, folks. As amazing as our literal bodies and brain and head is, the God of heaven, Jesus Christ Himself, is even more amazing. And understand, as He is this, He is the one that is the head of the body. He is the head of Central Baptist Church. Understand, I am the pastor. I am the under-shepherd. As under shepherd, I take that serious. I try to lead, guide, and direct in a biblical direction for this church. I try to preach and teach the Word of God in a way that would honor the Lord. But ultimately, understand, Troy McGahan is not the head of Central Baptist Church. That is Christ. He is the head. He is the one that we should be basing our decisions upon and the things we ought to do. He is the head. He is the one that has ultimate authority. And He has told us what to do in His Word. So therefore, we are to follow His Word to the best of our ability. So He is the head of the body, the church. But then notice this. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence? When it says He is the beginning, that is speaking that Christ is the source of all authority, and He is the one who deserves all the glory for anything good that happens within this church. Now, notice this too. Who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Understand, Jesus was the first who was chronologically to be resurrected, never to die again. Of all who have been or ever will be raised from the dead, and that includes all men. You can find that referenced in John chapter 5, verses 28 and 29, and that Christ is supreme in this. He is the one who is the firstborn from the dead, and then notice this, that in all things He may have the preeminence. Man, I just love that word. What does preeminence mean? It means He's, and I'm going to use this in several different ways, but basically means He's the one to receive all the glory. Listen, one of the problems we have in Baptist churches sometimes is we have the worship of the preacher. Preacher is not to be worshipped. I'm just a man like anyone else. If the Lord was to call me home or to call me somewhere else, you know what I would expect Central Baptist Church to keep doing? Keep serving God, keep preaching the gospel, keep ministering. Central Baptist Church is not built on Troy McGahan. I've seen Baptist churches do this as well, where they build everything upon personalities of people within the body. Understand something, folks. The Lord calls people home or whatever. Guess what? Central Baptist Church is to keep going as they follow the Lord's leading. There are so many ways we could go with this. But I want you to understand today, Jesus Christ deserves the preeminence. He is the one that deserves the glory. He is the one that is to be worshipped. He is the one that is to be put first. The problem with a lot of people today is simply this. They'll give Jesus the leftovers. Well, if I can make it to church, I've got other plans, but if something happens to those plans, I'll be at church. Or, I really want to go do this, but you know what? Listen, I get vacations, okay? I get sometimes you need to go see family. But when it's all the time, that's a problem. Listen, I'm going to tell you right now. The Lord and His work. How about we just put it like this? The Lord deserves preeminence. That's first. Are you following Christ? Or are you following yourself? Are you following Christ or are you following your job? Understand, God gives us jobs And God provides jobs to help us to be able to serve and to be able to take care of our families. But whenever our jobs become our idols, that's a problem. So understand, Christ is to be supreme. He is to have the preeminence in all we do and all we say. I want to ask you a question. Is Christ preeminent in your life? Is Christ first? Or is He somewhere down the line? Let me ask you this. Are you saved? Do you know that your sins are forgiven and the heavens are home? Have you put your faith and trust in this perfect Savior? And this God of heaven who rules and reigns over the affairs of man? Over this one who is God in flesh, who is God incarnate? If so, we rejoice with you. But let me ask you this. Are you serving Him? Are you honoring Him with your life? Or are you just giving Him the leftovers? My hope and prayer is that He's first in all that you do. Let's go ahead and pray. Our Father, we thank You for this day. We thank You for the blessings You give us. Lord, we love You. We thank You for all You do. Lord, if there be one here today that's lost, they don't know You in the free pardon of sin, God, I ask that You do a work in their heart. Lord, we love You and we thank You for all You do. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Come